Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great. Good morning to you on this December 23rd. I hope you're getting out to play a round of golf. We're in the clubhouse with our guests this morning, including Mark Rolfing, NBC Golf Channel analyst with a very special interest in tourism and golf in Hawaii, and in particular on Oahu. And of course, he's a Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame member, co-recipient of the PGA Distinguished Service Award, president and founder of the Chicago Parks Golf Alliance. We are focusing on Topgolf Alawai. First, we thank the people who make this show possible, including the fabulous folks at the Century Tournament of Champions, the winners only event, January 3rd through the 7th, celebrating 20 years at Kapalua on Maui.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Alan Nakata and Associates, the pre-Social Security and Social Security recipient specialists on Oahu and Maui. The team will help you and your parents avoid problems before they come up. That's Alan Nakata, 548-7526. Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, warehouse, showroom, or your home project into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. And by Claude Brousseau, master PGA professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 coach, Aimpoint certified, and Golf Channel lead coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, shopping center, store, a custom home, or townhouse, a new build, renovation, or repair, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business, your home, Raynor Doors.
And the Sony Open in Hawaii, the first full field event on the PGA Tour in 2018 at the Waialae Country Club. All right, let's go straight. Let's bring him into the clubhouse. Welcome in Mark Rolfing. So good to hear your voice.
Well, good morning, Danielle, and happy holidays to you, and thank you for the lovely introduction. So happy to be on today.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, it's, we've been talking about making the Alawai the center of golf in Hawaii, where all of the organizations over the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the Aloha Section PGA, the Hawaii State Golf Association, the Hawaii State Women's Golf Association, so many golf organizations that could be all under one roof in one place where everyone could come together, where college teams, high school teams could be practicing and maybe even have a top golf. And last week, with just a couple of sentences, the city and county of Honolulu is soliciting proposals to design, build, finance, operate, and maintain the Alawai golf course, driving range, and other golf-related activities. That sort of, that started the process. Actually, I've heard that there was something that went out and only Topgolf replied to it. It was a suggestions. How did this all start? Take us back.
Well, Danielle, this has been a discussion that's going on between myself and the city for, at least a couple of years now. And it's no secret that the whole golf industry in general, and in Hawaii, it's the same way. It's pretty much in the doldrums. And you know, the whole question about long-term sustainability for golf as an industry is really at the top of everybody's mind. And in order to have sustainability, you have to have growth, and we're just not seeing it in Hawaii. Tourism is growing wildly. The hotel rates are at all-time highs, breaking records every year, but the golf business is not on the same run-up with it. And clearly, in my mind, the place where the biggest potential growth is on the island of Oahu. It's the base of our population. It can be accomplished in both the local market segment and in the tourism segment. The facilities there are just so underutilized on the island of Oahu, and Alawai really is the centerpiece of that. This growth is not going to occur in country club golf. It's going to be public golf. And the way to do it is introduce new people to the game, and that's really what Topgolf does.
That's exactly right, because when we go around looking for a tee time, we're lucky to get a $45 rate. It's usually a $60 rate. Maybe we'd get something around $50. That's a lot of money if you want to play golf more than once a month. With incomes being the way they are, the cost of living the way it is, for local people, and that's my focus right now, for the local people who go to the Alawai, who go to Makalena, who go to Kahuku, to the Pali Golf Links, to the six Oahu Municipal Golf Courses. A lot of people say, well, that's not really, you know, gee whiz. They're beautiful golf courses where they are. They just need some help. And from what I understand, Topgolf could bring that kind of financial assistance to the table, whereas the Alawai pays for itself. The other municipal courses have to pay for themselves, but they don't really, and that's why the facilities aren't as, well, what you'd like to find when you go to a golf course. So would Topgolf actually help out the other facilities?
Well, effectively, Danielle, what is being discussed is Topgolf funding the other facilities. The reason, that everybody has so much concern about the public golf on Oahu is that it's not worth $60 a round. The experiences are just not that good on the other municipal courses, but the city does not have revenues to enhance those courses and bring them up to the levels they need to be brought up. But the Alawai can do it. And, you know, with Topgolf being able to come in and really not even touch the Alawai golf course, keep that operation going the way it is, actually put some money into that golf operation too. But to be able to develop a whole new revenue stream at just the driving range through a whole entertainment initiative would generate the kind of money that's needed. And, that's really what the goal is here. If you take a look at what the three main issues are that face the entire game of golf right now, Danielle, and you know them well, it takes too long, it costs too much, and the game is too darn difficult. And we do a great job of marketing golf in the state of Hawaii, but we really haven't addressed yet those three key issues. And that's the hope of Topgolf coming into this market, is to be able to introduce new ways to tackle all three of those issues, shorten the amount of time it takes, make it a better experience, make it easier, and certainly make it more cost effective.
Can I ask a question about how you see this being laid out from Topgolf's perspective? Is it going to be Topgolf, a driving range where folks who don't want to go into a restaurant Topgolf facility would still have a driving range, and the golf course? How is this going to happen?
Well, the answer is yes. We got to remember there's an RFP. What you were talking about before that Topgolf responded to was the city put out a request for information. So anybody that wanted information about what they potentially were going to do responded about 8 months ago to the city. And the only response that they got when they sent it out to prospective partners was Topgolf. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't going to be more responders. And I certainly believe the more responders and the more people that would be interested in and be potential competition for Topgolf, that is fine. But really what it has to be is it has to be, first of all, a facility that fits with the place. Alawai is an iconic place, just as is Waikiki. And you can't simply go in there and build a cookie-cutter facility like you would put in the middle of downtown Charlotte or Chicago or Dallas or any place like that. It's got to fit the environment. But more importantly, it has to fit what the needs and the wants of the golfers are. And yes, there are some golfers that simply want to work on their game or maybe get instruction or practice or whatever. That has got to be an option for, you know, a segment of the market. Other people want to be entertained. They want to come with their friends. They do want to go to the restaurants, and they do want to drink and eat and get a booth of eight people and play a game of top golf. You know, what's going to happen is the different times of the day are going to dictate really the activities. At 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday night, there's not a lot of people that simply want to go practice anyway. But at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, they do. So it's going to have to be a flexible physical facility, and it's going to have a lot of different tentacles of programs to it and options for people to do different things.
Yeah, and that is really key when you say that there's some people are thinking, well, Topgolf will take away the driving range, and that's not the plan at all. There is going to be a place for people who do just want to be in silence, in their own space, without any distractions, just working on their game. And then the people who just want to go play the game, those 18 holes, will still be in place?
Absolutely. The thing you have to remember, too, I would be concerned if the current driving range was a grass range, where people could hit balls off grass, you know, all day long. You can't do that at Alawai now. It's an artificial surface. So when you play off a top golf facility and you're not playing a game, let's say all you're doing is actually hitting some balls, it's really the same surface that's there now, although better. The top golf facility itself is almost the same exact size. It's within an acre of what the Alawai range currently is. So there is going to be really very little physical change to it at all. Now, there's going to have to be more parking because there's going to be more people over there and more employees and more things like that. But Alawai has a lot of space, Danielle. It really is a very large parcel for a public golf course. So I'm totally convinced it can be done without really altering the Alawai golf course at all.
Okay. So the course would be the same. The driving range, what I'm hearing now is that possibly the Topgolf facility would be itself, but people would go in at different times of day and find different sort of moods when they go in. So if they went in at 10 o'clock in the morning to just hit balls and work on their game, they'd still be inside the Topgolf building?
Yeah, they would be inside. I think probably the people that were practicing golf and they're more to maybe just hit balls and not play the game would tend to be more on a ground level. I think what you will ultimately see there is some sort of a two or three tiered structure of some kind. And so people playing the game would likely be at a higher level and people practicing at a lower level. But nighttime things really change at Alawai. Now, I will say, and this is going to be important for the folks that are listening to know, I'm going to go out and spend the day at Alawai next Thursday, which is the 28th of December. And I've decided and look around and really start analyzing it now that this RFP is out. And at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, the 28th, if anybody wants to come out to Alawai and talk story with Mark here and ask questions and express concerns or desires, I'm going to be there for a couple hours from 4 to 6, and I really want to hear what people have to say and what they're thinking. So that's going to be a good opportunity for everybody, and all that feedback is going to go directly to Topgolf for when they put in their proposal, which is going to happen very quickly. All of this is within the month of January.
This is fantastic. It's going to happen quickly. The city wants it done in 2 years. Is that feasible?
I think it is feasible. You know, they've got 38 facilities all over America. They have gone into major cities everywhere and dealt with the same issues. People who were concerned about being able to practice or people that were worried about lights or noise or parking, they have dealt with all this and done it extremely successfully. So I really don't see a scenario where there's a big, long, drag-out fight here. I think people will be surprised at how minimal impact a Topgolf facility actually has. The lighting, for example, Danielle, is up lighting. It goes straight up in the air, so it doesn't even shine horizontally like the lights at the Alawai Golf Course do now. I think the lights will be less obtrusive with a Topgolf, believe it or not, than what's there now. So I think the RFP will be in and the proposals will be done by the end of January. I think the city will choose a partner within a month or so after that. And I don't see any reason why after doing, you know, an environmental minimal work that has to be done. Most of that's already been done, but whatever has to be done to begin the permitting shouldn't take too long. Because there is a driving range already there, and I think it can easily be open within 2 years.
Okay. Now, this the Star Advertiser, Honolulu Star Advertiser, Ann Miller, special to the Star Advertiser. The picture that accompanied her article that was in last Saturday's paper is really perfect. The one that has Alpharetta, Georgia, the Topgolf driving range there, that really shows you that it is multi-tiered. I think there's three or two, but it's the driving range is obviously easily used just as a driving range. And some people have the ideas because Topgolf has the lighting up, you know, the targets, the nets, and at night when you hit the ball into the proper place in the net, it lights up and you get points, and it's fun. And there are kids that'll go. And I used last week, I talked about my niece. She went with me to a driving range and it was covered. And she said, "This looks just like Topgolf." And I said, "Well, actually, Topgolf looks just like this, only much more, you know." She'd never played golf before going to Topgolf. And now she knows she goes out and she wants to get her golf outfits and she wants to go and practice golf and she wants to learn the game so she can play the game. The games become so much more important to young people going into the world because it gives you entree to so many different levels of business, of society, of just having fun, getting exercise, going out with your friends. You know, it's for golfers and non-golfers, Ann Miller wrote, alike. They can hit microchip balls at targets, watch big screen TVs, enjoy live entertainment, or use the private event spaces and meeting rooms. And the city wants something that's going to be long-term, not just a couple of years. This is a long-term commitment, a long-term lease, and enhancing not just the Alawai, but also the experience for everybody else who goes to the municipal courses that we as residents can afford because it's $25, not $50. You know, I can go and drop $25 and have a great round of golf someplace and feel really good. Or maybe it's $34, or maybe I'm going to walk and it's less. But it's within reason. So I see this as a win-win with the way Topgolf. Also, when the COO Craig Kessler was on last weekend, he made it very plain that they do take into consideration the need to incorporate the needs of the people who live here to accommodate people and make Topgolf their Topgolf, not Georgia's Topgolf or Atlanta's Topgolf or Dubai's Topgolf. It's Hawaii's Topgolf. And you'll be a part of that, won't you? Mark Rolfing, we're talking with Mark Rolfing.
Yes, I will. And, you know, I became a fan of Topgolf, Danielle, right after I recovered from my cancer surgery, which for a while I really had trouble swinging. I couldn't generate a lot of swing speed, and I actually came back at a Topgolf. The first full swings I made were at a Topgolf in Scottsdale, Arizona, and I had to play a match against Gary Woodland and Daniel Berger, two of the biggest hitters on the PGA Tour. And I was horrified. I thought, my heavens, you know, I'm going to look like a total fool. But the great thing about Topgolf is that it is the equalizer of all time. It doesn't matter what level you play on. And so we created this game where I was hitting at a target that was 120 yards away. Gary and Daniel Berger were hitting at a target that was 215 yards away, and I could be competitive with them. You know, the floor of the Topgolf hitting area is like AstroTurf. You can actually top a ball off the second level and the ball will go 200 yards into a target. So there's instant gratification, instant scoring. And if you want to go play for an hour or 2 hours, you don't need to take 6 hours out of your day. And you don't need to spend $50 to do that. So that's what I really enjoyed first off about Topgolf. And I became effectively one of their customers before I really became even interested in the Alawai consideration.
Yeah. Oh, but you've been talking about fixing up Kahuku, maybe adding some yardage to the course, taking a genuine interest in getting golf centrally located, the golf organization. So, you know, you're going down Kapi'olani or where are they? Is it on King Street? You know, you're not sure where everybody's located, having Alawai be the center. So with the clubhouse provide that is currently at the Alawai, that kind of service?
You know, I don't know exactly how that would work in the end. You know, bringing all the organizations together is a little bit of a longer term vision than Topgolf. But I can tell you this, you know, for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, where I'm very involved, I firmly believe that the future and the headquarters and the core of the HSJGA's mission ought to be on Oahu. That's where the base, you know, of the population is. And as we watch the growth of the HSJGA and try and figure out how are we going to introduce more young people to the game, there are a whole lot more young people to be introduced on the island of Oahu than any other island. And I really think that Oahu has lagged behind in a lot of ways when it comes to golf from the neighbor islands. Neighbor islands have been the leaders ever since Kanapali in 1962 and Mauna Kea in 64 and then Kapalua in 75. So I think it's time for Oahu to catch up. And I think with all these organizations, if they got together and worked together and were kind of located in the same sort of vicinity, we ought, the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, in my mind, ought to be at Alawai. So people that come out there, a lot of people, 220,000, you know, a year maybe between a Top Golf and the Alawai Golf Course, could actually see the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame and, you know, touch David Ishii's plaque and really, you know, get to know golf in Hawaii. There, we've had great tournaments at Alawai. And we ought to just make that experience a total experience for showcasing golf in this state.
So let's get the focus first, a new golf concept for the Alawai, and maybe fluffing up the course eventually and then working toward consolidating all of the golf organizations into one place and getting the high schools to be able to have their competition at a municipal course rather than, you know, having to ask for another course to offer them a place to play. I think it's a fabulous I like it. Mark Rolfing will be at the Alawai on December 28th between 4 and 6. December 28th is next week. Is that next week Thursday?
Next week Thursday. That's correct.
Next week Thursday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Alawai Golf Course. He's going to be checking it out, and he wants your input. If you've got questions, if you've got ideas, if you've got concerns, you want to know, you know, is my day on the range going to be impacted? Will I still be able to just go out there and be in my own zone and just hit balls and not have music blaring around me and not have a party scene? You'll get all your answers. And the answer to that is, yeah, you will have that, I believe. But Mark Rolfing will be there December 28th, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. to answer those questions. Mark, are you going to be at the Century Tournament of Champions?
I am. I didn't qualify for the field this year, Danielle, but I'm working on my game. So that's the goal for next year. Just kidding. But I will be there and with the microphone in hand and ready to go. We're so happy to have the new sponsor of Century and, you know, all the great players coming. That tournament's developed its core following of players in Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. And, you know, that tournament has really turned the corner. And it's no coincidence that it's a long-term contract. And now that Sony's re-upped, I'm feeling really good about the PGA Tour's future in Hawaii.
Awesome. And I'm going to have the guy in charge of Century on the show next Saturday. So we'll find out all about Century. And, of course, my next question is, like, right here, right on the air, I get to say, put you on the spot. Mark, will you be on my show from the Century Tournament of Champions on Saturday?
Oh, of course I will. Saturday morning. That's like a standing date, Danielle. I'm in.
Awesome. Mark Rolfing, thanks for being on the show.
All right, Daniel.
Aloha. I just want to let you all know, too, we're moving to Oldies 101.1 FM next week. That's where you'll find the golf club. And I want to thank Salem for 10 great years. We'll be back with Ron Syrak right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha! Chris Berman here. Join me at the Century Tournament of Champions, January 3rd through 7th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. There is no better way to kick off the new year than watching the most elite field in golf, led by defending champion Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, and more. Tickets start at just $15, and kids get in free. Be a part of the action. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. And it doesn't matter if your restaurant line broke at 10 a.m. or your building hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. That 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing, 841-2837. Your experts on call.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
For many years, I've had the pleasure of talking with Ron Cyrak, who has covered more major championships, over 155, Golf Channel contributor, often special to the LPGA, author and co-author, Vision 54 Trilogy. If you're looking for a great gift, you need to get Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, or Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, published, by the way, in 8 languages. So let's bring him right into the clubhouse. Welcome, Ron. Good to talk with you.
Danielle, your introductions are the best.
Well, you're the best, and you're one of the best writers ever. The PGA Lifetime Achievement Award in Journalism recipient, and LPGA awarded you as well. The way you write, I mean, I was absolutely taken when you went to the Middle East and wrote about the sounds people, when you're listening to the prayers in the morning, you know, that just the echoing and the way you write and the way you put that together, I felt like I was there. Beautifully done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So I want to go, first off, because the most recent news we've gotten from the LPGA, and I thought we'd cover some of the top stories that, you know, see what your take is on the top stories of last year. I've got some from the PGA of America. I've got some top controversies that I've pulled out. But first, Lexi Thompson's wrist injury. Is this an injury or is it a repetitive movement kind of disturbance? Have you heard anything?
I think it's just an overuse thing. It sounds like if she takes a few weeks off, she'll be ready when the season kicks back up. I don't think it's anything too concerning right now.
She's got
they're erring on the side of caution.
I like that. Yeah, because she's such a physical player. She's such an athlete that when she puts herself into it, it's just her whole body and the force that she delivers. I mean, look at her in the last year. How often do we see an American player be so close to being player of the year and the top winner against so many of the top South Koreans? And Lexi Thompson was in that list.
And, you know, if not for the 4-stroke penalty at the ANA Inspiration, she would have been player of the year. You know, that cost her 3 LPGA Hall of Fame points right there, 2 for winning a major championship and 1 for being player of the year. I do think that this was a turning point year for Lexi. I think that the ANA made her sort of up her focus and up her determination. And I think she played the rest of the year with a healthy chip on her shoulder. And I also think that I saw enormous improvement in her short game, which was the flaw in her game. Her chipping and putting had always been well below average, and she improved enormously there. You know, we may see a really big year, breakout year from her in 2018.
I'd like to just go to when chip on the shoulder, and it's interesting because there is a positive and there is a negative. And when you said healthy, She walked away from that four-stroke penalty delivered because of something she did the day before. Retroactively penalized the two strokes because she had an incorrect scorecard and she had no idea it was incorrect. It was so bizarre. She had a few tears. A lot of people would have been scarred, but she walked away saying, what?
She also birdied the next hole. You know, she walks up the 12th green with a two-stroke lead, tees off on 13, two strokes behind, and goes down, birdies that hole, birdies three of the final five holes to get into the playoff. That showed me a toughness in her that I've never seen before. And, you know, and she handled it. I mean, man, I remember being there and watching her. She went out and signed autographs for 20 minutes. She did every media interview that was asked to her. She did all the right things. And from what I heard from her camp is, I think it bothered her and gnawed on her more as the days passed over the next week or so. I think she realized how much she had lost there. At the time when it happened, I wrote that they need to do three things, that they need to stop viewer call-ins. They need to stop that second penalty for not recording a score that you didn't know you made. And to me, that's the real injustice that was done to Lexi. And they need to stop the second day penalties. Well, the USGA has done two of those three. It's going to stop viewer call-ins. Going to stop that that second penalty for not recording the score. I still think that they should. The fact that you could be penalized on Sunday for something you did on Saturday, but you can't be penalized for Monday on something you did Sunday because the tournament's considered closed, never made sense to me. I understand their thinking that a golf tournament is 72 holes, not four 18-hole segments. But I think when the last scorecard is signed on any day, that round should be over, and then let's go on with our lives.
Yes. Next. And a lot of people, okay, let's go. One of the controversies and top story of via PGA of America came in at number five, could have been number one, of course, but Sergio Garcia got that one, his first major, and yay, I'm so thrilled for him. Going backwards, Justin Thomas winning the PGA championship was number two. Of course, his father's a son of a PGA. Right. Jordan Spieth's late rally to win the Open was number three, you know, maybe the greatest back nine of all time. We could talk for days. Tiger Woods returning to golf at the Hero was number four. Lexi's top was number five. So losing her four-stroke lead because of that four-stroke penalty, because of something she did the day before, you know. And then, but one of the top controversies listed of the entire year, we go back to Lexi. Inspiring change, most controversial of 2017 was the penalty against Lexi Thompson retroactively. They did change. They got right on it and said, okay, this isn't going to happen anymore. No more call-in view, no more. But there are still questions amongst players saying, yeah, but still, we who are at the top of our game at the moment get more attention than anybody else. We're the ones with the cameras on us at all times. So it still isn't really fair. And I don't see how that could possibly be adjusted for. If you're good, you're going to be in the limelight. Your thoughts
right.
on that?
Yeah, and I don't know the way around that because, what the rules officials will all tell you is they welcome all the evidence they can possibly get. You know, and if they didn't see something, but TV did see something, like at the Women's U.S. Open at Coeur d'Aval in the playoff, Anna Nordqvist touched the sand.
Yes.
I mean, she inadvertently, it was clear as day, she inadvertently hit the sand on her backswing. And to me, too, this is where common sense has to come into play. Because to me, I think one of the questions that you need to ask is, did the player gain a competitive advantage? Dustin Johnson at Oakmont in the U.S. Open, his ball moved the 16th of an inch, not closer to the hole, and they penalized him. Well, that was just stupid. He gained no competitive advantage. On a Nordqvist, if you touch the sand on your backswing, you're going to gain a competitive advantage in the sense that you've smoothed the sand down behind the ball unintentionally. Mm-hmm. And I do think that they need to bring common sense into it. You know, when you look at the replay of Lexi replacing her ball at the ANA, there are questions as to whether she put, I mean, she clearly did not put the ball back in the same place.
Yes.
Now, whether she gained anything from that, you know, some people say she took it out of an indentation, or whether she gained anything or not, is not really clear. But to me, as I said before, the ultimate injustice to her was the second two-stroke penalty, you know, and without the second two-stroke penalty, she wins the tournament. That idea that you could be penalized for not recording a score that you didn't know you made is just where no common sense, there's no common sense in that thing.
I agree with you completely. And so we're going to not be allowed, and I have no idea where people get the email or the phone number to call in and say, by the way, I just saw something. That is the biggest mystery. I know you know some people in the USGA and the user rules world, but that to me is weird. That they can.
Well, you know, at the ANA, my understanding from talking to the rules officials there is somebody emailed just the fan email account for the LPGA, you know, and somebody who monitors the email for the fan, for the public email coming in, passed it on to the rules officials.
Wow.
And, you know, and again, rules officials have to act on something like that. They can't pretend that they didn't get it. Sometimes at a tournament, it can be as simple as just calling the main number for the golf course and asking for the TV truck, you know.
Wow.
and you'll get passed on that way. There were times when Tiger Woods was penalized for a bad drop at the Masters on number 15 a few years ago. It was a rules official watching on television who called another rules official that he knew.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but this calling in is not going to be allowed anymore, but they will have somebody. And this is what you and I've talked about. Somebody sitting in the truck watching the feed so that what's going on television, what's on the screen will be seen by a rules official.
And again, isn't that just common sense?
Yes.
You know, let's just have somebody whose job it is to watch TV, you know, and if they see something, say something. Otherwise, you know, again, let's go on with our lives, you know, no harm, no foul. And yeah, that argument that the top players, the big name players, are going to be held to a different standard than everybody else. Well, it's true. Now you could make the argument back that, well, those are the players who are in contention, so those are the players that need to be held to a different level of scrutiny. You know, remember the year in Phoenix? Gosh, this is probably 15 years ago. Tiger Woods had about 400 people in his gallery move a giant rock.
Oh, gosh, away. Yes.
Yes, you know, I mean, you know, if you're Joe Schmo playing in a tournament and you don't have a gallery, you don't have 400 people who are going to come over and move a rock for you.
Let us help you, Tiger.
Yeah.
That was an interesting controversy. And I think I found this list of 10 on one of the sites. And what I thought was interesting about them, there was Omar Oresti, not a club pro. He got one of the 20 spots. Bernard Langer, everybody's wondering about whether or not he's actually legally using his long putter.
The fact
that they question him. And there are a lot of people who think the long putter should come back. What happened to the RBA Canadian Open? The fellow who lost, the man who was in charge, apparently in the middle of the tournament, he just sort of lost his title and weird. Okay. But three of the top was weather woes around the world on the LPGA, wiping out a round at the Evian, but not suspending play at the McKesson. One of number five was starting over on the LPGA's KP Financial Star Championship. I think that was in Korea, canceling the round one.
Right.
And then the resignation of the leading rules official. And then number two on the list was Erica Shepherd, in response to her caddy's question, I didn't say that was good. That was, and that's interesting because that was US Girls Open. So
right.
for something, and she was attacked on social media. What do you think of that? Those three being included out of 10, three of them having to do with women's golf.
Well, you know, one of the things that people really overlook, and I was at Evian the first year that it was a major, and it was 54 holes that year, too, because of rain. And the thing that people lose sight of here is the LPGA is playing to an entirely different economic reality than the men's tour. You know, I mean, we know they play for one-fifth the prize money that the men play for, but it is an economic burden for a tournament to go into a Monday for them. You know, there's really a lot of pressure on the LPGA to end those tournaments on time on Sunday. And so sometimes they don't get the look. If it's a USGA event, the USGA would get a US Open or a US Women's Open. They'd keep them there 3 weeks. If it took 3 weeks to get 72 holes in.
Got it. Yes.
They're going to finish 72 holes, and they're not going to play lift, clean, and play.
Yeah, right. And they've got the money to do that.
Exactly. And the LPGA is in a situation where they can't. They have a very, very different economic reality. Now, that said, Mike Wann, at his end-of-the-year press conference at the CME Globe this year, had just amazingly bushels of good news and he wouldn't say this, but he was just saying in the last yada yada years. But essentially what it is since Mike Wann's been commissioner, revenue's up 90%, purses are up like 60%, TV ratings this year were up 17%. And you know, one of Wann's missions right now he's got 34 tournaments. He's got the number that he needs. They are golf's global tour. And right now he's trying to figure out a way to drive up prize money more and a way to make the Symetra Tour be a true feeder tour in which people can make a living the way you can on the web.com tour.
Yes,
now.
Yes.
You can feed yourself on the web.com tour. It's hard on the Symetra Tour, man. If you're out of the top five, you're losing money.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out a way to make that more of a real feeder tour, which will, I think, should be a boon to American golfers in a lot of ways.
Oh,
give them a place to start out.
Big time, big time. Because a lot
they
of
have it in Korea has several feeder tours to their main tour, you know, and they have a really, really developed minor league tour system there. And it's, you know, it's why every time a Korean like a Sung Hyun Park comes over, and she got on my radar screen the first time at the Women's Open at Coeur d'Aval. You know, you see somebody and you go, wow, what an incredible swing. And she's really good. And how come I've never heard of her? And then you look her up and realize, oh, she's won 17 times already in Asia. Because they have all these tours to play over there.
Yeah. We've got the greatest collegiate feeder in the world, all the global people. And I love how, because as an aside, you said the LPGA is truly golf's global tour. You know, they're talking about going global on the men's side. Well, the LPGA already is. So the folks are from around the world are coming into the United States to play college golf because you get such excellent competition. You're learning everything about traveling. You're doing all this. So now we need to develop something so that once you come out of that college, you can go into a place where, as you said, the Symetra Tour can actually feed you and get you from one place to another. For a lot of the girls on the Symetra Tour, it's like the 50s still, and they're driving from place to place. They're sleeping in their cars, just like the 13 founders of the LPGA did, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, and they try to find... I mean, you know, the tour does try to find them host families at tournaments, you know, to put them up for free. And you know, to be a full-time tour player, probably going to cost you about $60,000 a year, you know, and you know, there aren't too many people on the Symetra Tour who make $60,000 a year. I think one of the things that the LPGA wants to do and is looking at is go back some of those cities that used to have LPGA events that lost them, like Corning, New York, and go back and get the Symetra Tour back into places like that. You know, there used to be four tournaments in Ohio, and Youngstown, Ohio had one, and I think now there's one in Ohio. But there's some cities that they could go back to and give them a second tier event and try to figure out a way by working with sponsors. I preach this message over and over again. Any corporation looking to get involved in sports marketing, there's no better value than women's golf right now. You can get in for a fraction of what it costs you to get into a men's tournament in terms of sponsorship. You can have an endorsement deal for a fraction of what the men's have. And they, you know, Mike Wann's constant mantra to his players is think like a founder, act like a founder, you know, which means sell this tour all the time when you're out there. And almost without exception, LPGA players buy into that thinking Anybody who's played an LPGA Pro-Am will tell you it's an awesome experience. And the level of cooperation from the players is terrific.
Exactly. And the women's golf fan is a completely loyal golf fan. They stay with the women's golf no matter what. Ron Cyrak, it is so good talking with you. Thank you for being on the show. And it's been way too long since we had a conversation, so we must do this more regularly.
You got it. I'll be at the women's majors in 2018. So anytime you need anything from there, just you know where to find me.
Ron Cyrak is Golf Channel contributor. You can find him every Monday morning on Morning Drive, and when they're on hiatus until the end of the holidays. And he is, of course, special to the LPGA. It's always great. Go to the LPGA.com website, and he has conversations. Who's your Amy?
Amy Rogers.
Yes.
Amy's a who, yes.
Yes, you and Amy Rogers.
And next year also, too, I will have every week that the LPGA plays in 2018, I will have a column on the LPGA website also.
Fantastic. Ron, aloha. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Aloha.
We're going to come back and talk with Claude Brousseau, a Golf Channel Academy lead coach, and he is owner of the Maui School of Golf. Right after this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
The Sony Open is 20 years old. Come celebrate with the tour's big hitters at Waialae, January 8th through 14th. Golf's biggest and best, like Justin Thomas, Jason Duffner, KJ Choi, Vijay Singh, means big drama and big money for Hawaii's charities. Get tickets now at SonyOpenInHawaii.com or at First Hawaiian Banks on Oahu. Military free with valid ID. Admission and bag policy apply. Check out SonyOpenInHawaii.com.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens.
Your plumbing can't wait.
It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight.
Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii.
Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the Golf Club.
We're going to have partly sunny skies today, a slight chance of some light showers, mainly in the morning. I'm looking to the south from Honolulu, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And, so if you're going south, it's going to be, if you're up Mauka, maybe windward side, it's been raining all year. The winds, I'm not laughing, it's just ironic. The winds are northeasterly, 10 to 20 miles per hour, so it's going to be a bit chilly, 76 to 81 degrees. I've been loving this nighttime sleeping weather, but I really need your attention because we are moving to Oldies 101.1 FM. That's where you'll find us next weekend and the weekend after and the weekend after. That's 101.1. And I want to thank Salem for 10 great years. All right, we're going to go to Maui, the Maui School of Golf. And when I'm over at Century Tournament of Champions, I got to drop in and see Claude Brousseau, Golf Channel Academy lead coach. He is the owner of the Maui School of Golf, which, of course, is School of Golf, Golf Channel, School of Golf. Yes, the Maui School of Golf, Director of Coaching, Player Development. This is on the Kahili course, beautiful golf course, pictures of it. He's Golf Channel Academy lead coach, and he's the author of Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Pro-ficient Golf Game. I love how you've done that. Master PGA professional, Claude Brousseau, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
You were on Golf Channel just at the beginning of November. I think it was the 8th and 9th. And your Golf Channel morning drive tips, both on the 8th and the 9th, different. But the basic was playing under pressure. And I love what you said about when you're under pressure, your weakest link always breaks first.
Exactly. And then that's the privilege to be, you know, associated with Golf Channel. Golf Channel has a team every month. And then in November was Play Under Pressure. So the I like to, this is an idea from Dr. Rick Jensen. He's a sport performance guy, and he helped a ton of the high player. I think his player had won over 20 major together and some big number of tournaments. So if we compare your golf swing as a chain, each link represents a part of your game. And then, of course, then when you're under pressure, imagine you put pressure on a chain. So the weakest link will break first. So under pressure, to be better and performing, you need to practice in situations that will simulate pressure. As an example, let's say you have difficulty in those 30 to 60 yard shot, the pitching shot. But guess what? When you're on the course, that's where you will probably miss some shot under pressure or in competition. So under pressure, you need to be aware what is your weakest link. Then you need to what I call prepare, meaning you will spend time in a practice situation on the course as often as you can, but also on the practice tee, you will simulate situation that produce pressure. That means, let's say, if we do a pitch shot, let's say 30 yards, but you need to have a specific target, and it's one ball, one shot. Then the next one, you decide to do a 45-yard shot. Again, one shot, one target, one result. So this way, you will have the skill to manage pressure when you're on the course.
It happens to me, you know. I'll have a pretty decent drive. It went straight. It went toward my target. And then I'll have a pretty decent second shot. Wow, I'm really close to the green. Not quite on it, though. Not quite there, you know. And then that, and then the pressure. Because, like, I want to be on the green. I want to start putting because I feel confident. But it's that pitching. And in your chapter of pitching, page 63, this is Claude Brousseau, PGA Master. Realize your golfing potential. Unlock the secrets of a proficient short game. That's the name of the book. Beautifully done. I'm going to read the review from Rick Jensen, Dr. Rick Jensen, after this. But you talk about mastering the pivot, how to synchronize your pitch, and using the weight of the club. But you talk about synchronizing the upper part of your body and the lower part of your body to get this pitch right.
Yeah, because you see, the listener in you, Daniel, when you play, we have to understand that the pitching motion is different than the full swing. Why? The main reason is because the ball doesn't need to travel as far. So let's say, just to make the clear the difference between the two, when you are doing a full swing, you need more power. So the sequencing of returning the club at the ball starts from the ground up. That means you use your feet, that feed your knee, feed your head, your torso, your arms, and the club head move last, because we want to create tremendous amount of club head speed. On the pitch shot, let's say 30-yard shot, you don't need that. It's a precision. So precision, pitching, and then performance. Now, you need, on those shots, what you have to do is, it's very important the way you set up. You can set up with, I will say, maybe 55% weight on the target leg, the lead leg. And then the most important thing is the sequencing is almost like all your body move in sync. That's why I call that synchronized. Your upper and lower body will turn at the same rate of rotation.
So you when you talk about turning at the same rate of rotation, a lot of people on their full swing will come down, not necessarily a good thing, but they'll come down a really hard and then just put all that force into that downswing and hit that ball, and that follow through is with the pitching, with a pitch shot, you're so close to the target, you're going to have to, a lot of us don't realize how far back we're taking our club on a short shot because we're so used to going far back.
Correct. So another way, one of the main reasons people miss those shots is it's because, like you just said, the backswing is too long. So the brain sense, wow, that ball will go too far. So they decelerate and then they don't finish the swing. So it's very important in the pitch shot. And that's why I have that exercise at the page 65 where, let's see, imagine you're in your address position, and then you will put the club in your hands like if it was a tree. It's a holiday season. Imagine a tree full of good food, and then you don't want to get that food on the ground. So get into your posture, put your palms up. Imagine you hold the tree, and then simulate the back swing, and then simulate the forward swing all the way to the finish. People don't finish enough on that shot, and then the hands take over and flip. So this exercise will help you to feel that synchronization between the upper and the lower body.
Yeah, you can just do that. Just put the club in your hand, have your palms up, and then just execute the backswing. Feel your arms and hips turning at the same rate of rotation. But you always want to have your palms up so that you can feel that?
Yes, it's just because when you get your palms up, I think it's better if you hold a club in your hand so you have a better sense of the weight of the club also.
Yes.
And that complete rotation to finish. It's very important to finish the swing with your hips facing left of the target for a right-handed player.
Excellent. This is Claude Brousseau, Golf Channel Academy lead coach and owner of Maui School of Golf. It's on the Kahili course on Maui, of course. One of the reviews from Dr. Rick Jensen about Claude's book, Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Proficient Short Game. And you can find his book and get it at MauiSchoolOfGolf.com, is from Dr. Rick Jensen. He says, I arrived home today to find your book. Absolutely terrific. Wow. You did a masterful job with the entire book. Pictures are beautiful. The concepts are some of the best I've seen. Love how you concluded by telling the reader they now have the intellectual knowledge and suggesting they take it to the practice facility and to the course. I hope you're very proud of what you've produced. I am. Great work. That is, it really sums it up. And also, Dana Rader wrote, Claude, I just got your book, and although I have only had time to go through it, I have to say it's one of the best laid out books I've seen in a very long time. Absolutely loved your pictures, the clear demonstration, as well as how great and fit you look. And then she went on to say, congrats on an incredible book, and I can't wait to read it. Many thanks for taking the time to send it to me. This is really fun, too. Was it Don Anderson who said that he could tell what segment he just went back to remember what he was wearing? I thought that was Dana's comment.
Yeah. Yes. No, that's Don Anderson. He's I'm so proud, if you want, with that book, and make me so happy, in fact. This book is really for your listener, what I call the recreational golfer, because they will go there. They will recognize themselves. They will have a game plan that is simple. Simple doesn't mean easy. Just mean it's simple, efficient. You know how you produce a good shot. I will stress that in never enough. You see, the golfer in general don't know how they produce good shots. And then they come to us, pro, and then they say, would you tell me what I do wrong? I say, of course I will. But I say, don't you think you'll be more efficient and play better golf and have more fun if you know how you produce a good shot? So you will be able to produce it again on demand when you need it. They look at me, they say, oh boy, I never look at golf this way. But I say, get to understand not only intellectually, but in your senses. What did you do different? Most of the time they will say, but it felt the same way, but it cannot be the same way. It's a better shot. This one was pure striking, nice spin, nice, you know, checking on the green, and the previous one was fat. It cannot feel the same way. So we need to be then aware of what they do. And and then just another example, Bill Butwell, he's in Florida. It's an amazing, interesting story. The guy just turned 73 this week. He shot his age, and then he says, okay, I was not striking the ball that well, but I read your book with chipping and pitching portion. Timing was perfect. So yesterday or the day before, he said, I did up and down 100% of the time just because the instructions are so clear, so make so much sense.
And that's perfect. I need to ask you a question. I mean, the idea that he got 100% after reading your book is awesome. And the book, again, is Realize Your Golfing Potential, Unlock the Secrets of a Pro-Efficient Short Game. And you can get it at MauiSchoolOfGolf.com. Do you find that some of your students don't really know what they're feeling anyway because their mind blanks out in a way? It's very hard when you're learning the game and you feel a little nervous, you know you're trying to do all these things right, and it's all these different parts of your body need to, you know, be synchronized and they need to follow through. Sometimes in my experience of my own brain, it will sometimes not be able to clear out the clutter and be right into just the swing. And it's almost like a paralysis of the brain for a moment. And I don't know if it's breathing, if there's not enough oxygen, because we're like so tense. Got to get this right. I'm not getting it right. You know, there's a self-imposed pressure, I think, is one of the things that I don't know how to tell people to let it go.
Yeah. No, that's a good point you have there, Daniel. Effectively, a ton of golfer are not enough aware of what they're doing with their body because they don't practice it. And then they just so focused on hitting the ball. So first, may sound strange, but I tell them this game is not about hitting a ball. It's about using your body to swing a club efficiently. And guess what? That little ball down there, 2 ounces, will go. So they just need to spend more time away from the ball when they do their practice swing. That's where they want to think as much as they want it, they want or sense. That's the other thing. They need to sense what, you know, hold the club really, really, really tight. Then now hold it, just barely hold it in your hand, and then take the time to feel the difference in that sensation. If we come back to the pitching motion, that exercise that page 66, 67, it's so easy to do. And then you can just feel the weight of you. So what you do, you get into your posture again, no club for this one at the beginning, and you just put your arms up, like at shoulder height, and you let them drop. And then it may sound so simple, but when I ask people to do that, they control their arm dropping.
Yes.
I say, okay, this is, you see what you just did there? Is not dropping, it's controlling your arms. Just let them drop. So now they let them drop, and then they feel how much speed and the weight of their arm. So people need to have a coach that help them to find exercise that instead of be so much on the technical aspect of the moving the club, they're more center self, I call that, and they call that also in the learning, self-awareness. It's another one you can do is just another example. Let's say you work on balance. People are not aware they're not in balance. Just after the fact, oh, I lost my balance. Okay. So you can just, again, get into your posture. Then you start eyes open, but you just lift, let's say, your lead leg, and then you see how in balance you are. This is not intellectual. That's a feeling. That's an awareness of what you do with your body. Then at the ball, you stay in that mode of feeling what you do for few balls. And then the next one, if you want, you can think about it. Everybody is different. You need to find what works for you.
That's great. That's a great tip. And in fact, people want to get together with you, Claude. And, you know, we talk about Maui. And, of course, we're on Maui. On the, in fact, I need to do something really quick here. I completely forgot about this is for the FCC. I'll have to find the sheet. So let me just continue with my thought. You come to Kapolei on Oahu, and thank you so much to the Island Pacific Golf Academy and Oliver Olaquiano for making it possible for you to use the facility to teach. It's the second Saturday of the month. Is that how often you come over?
That's correct. That's the big announcement that I want to do. So I would like to share my expertise, and thank you for Oliver at the Island Pacific Golf Academy. We have an agreement. So I'll be on Oahu every second Saturday of the month. So next will be January 13. I have only two spots available for people. It's either 9 in the morning or 11. They can reach out to me to make an appointment. Then I will be there on February 10th all day, and March 10th also from 8 to 4 p.m. So people can either call me directly at 808-870-1422, or they can go on my website, email me, and then I'm happy to come on your island, Danielle, and help people to have more fun with the game.
That's wonderful. And that, again, is Maui School of Golf. It may be easier just to go to MauiSchoolOfGolf.com, and you can find Claude Brousseau and make that appointment. Let me take care of our legal ID here. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo, and we'll be on Oldies 101.1. That's where the golf club will be starting next Saturday. And I want to thank Salem for 10 great years. So let's wrap up with a final thought about just, you know, the game and getting together with Claude, because in addition to being at Kapolei once a month, the second Saturday of the month, you could get a 10-minute lesson free with Claude. You just have to go over to the Century or the Sony Open. They're going to have the PGA, and Claude is a master PGA. So how do those 10-minute lessons work?
Yes. So basically, the Aloha Section PGA, to give back to the game and promote it on the Tournament of Champions, the Century Tournament of Champions here. It's in the village. You know, when you come in at the main entrance, we have a tent there. Personally, I will be at the Century Tournament on Saturday morning. And but it goes all day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You always PGA Pro there helping you. You just come at the hitting cage, we call that. You put your name on the sheet, and then we got plenty PGA Pro from the Aloha Section. Just wanted people to have more fun and get better. And then I will be at the Sony the Saturday, the 13th, in the afternoon from 12:30 to, I think, 5:30 or 4:30, something like that, if they really want to experience Claude Brousseau.
That would be great. And now, do I bring a club with me, or do you have clubs there?
Great, great question, Danielle. No, you don't need to bring anything. We provide the club. And also, I don't know if it's still there this year, but the last year we had the Spare for Change giving clubs to the kids. Oh, you don't need your club. So just show up with a good attitude to want to have more fun with the game, and us, the PGA, will take care of the rest.
It's a free lesson, guys, at the Sony Open in Hawaii on Oahu at Wailea Country Club, or at the Century Tournament of Champions at Kapalua. And the entry is brand new this year. It's going to be fabulous. I can't wait. Thank you. This is Claude Brousseau, Director of Coaching and Player Development, Maui School of Golf, Golf Channel Academy lead coach and author. Realize your golfing potential. Unlock the secrets of a proficient short game. Thanks, Claude.
thank you so much for having me, and happy holidays to all your listeners, and I look forward to seeing you either on Maui or Oahu.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and I'll see you real soon. Aloha.
Sounds good. Aloha.
We're going to come back. Diana DeLucia, CEO of Golf Kitchen, a beautiful coffee table book, and her magazine. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After a year of searching, I found the perfect building for my new 30,000-foot showroom and office. I asked the architect what to do about the flooring. She just smiled and said, call Futurastone. They can turn a dirty, bumpy slab into a work of art. Super low maintenance, yet tough as nails. It's not paint. It's polished concrete, as seen in Architectural Digest. Call Futurastone at 841-7433. It needs to be done right, on time, and on budget.
Aloha! Chris Berman here. Join me at the Century Tournament of Champions, January 3rd through 7th at the Plantation Course in Kapalua. There is no better way to kick off the new year than watching the most elite field in golf, led by defending champion Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, and more. Tickets start at just $15, and kids get in free. Be a part of the action. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf is easier with coaching from PGA Master Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Claude is at Maui School of Golf at the Kahili Course on Maui. You'll get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claude@mauischoolofgolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Diana DeLucia, CEO, Golf Kitchen. She's got a gorgeous book that you can give to friends. You just go to golfkitchen.com or subscribe to her magazine. The first one is out already. The next one's coming out in a couple of weeks. It's the winter issue with none other than Gary Player on the cover. And we spent a day together at Kohana Iki, a residential community like no other. Welcome into the clubhouse, Diana.
Hi, Danielle. How are you? Great to catch up again.
Yes. Well, we had so much fun at Kohana Iki. Landed early in the morning. You know, and you're there. Somebody's greeting you. I came off the plane. I walked out, and there was the man with, you know, and it's like, hi, and he was. Weren't the greeters wonderful?
Oh, I absolutely loved my greeters. I flew in the evening before you, if you remember, and couldn't find my luggage. I didn't even know where the carousel was. I mean, it looked like I was in paradise, but I couldn't find my bags, and there they were, and off we went to Kohana Iki, and they gave me a good laugh on the way, too.
Exactly. I think those two guys took me to the airport when I left that night.
They were awesome.
Yes, awesome. And in fact, all the people at Kohana Iki seem to have, you know, they specialize. You know, they're specialists in everything from the brewmaster, the on-site brewmaster. What a story! And now Diana DeLucia, she's going to feature Kohana Iki in her second book, and it's going to be Golf Kitchen America. And of course, they'll also be featured in her magazine. But tell us a little bit about the brewmaster. He was amazing. He got awards before he went to Kohana Iki.
Well, Garrett Fitz is the brewmaster. He's actually the assistant food and beverage manager at Kohana Iki. But I discovered a little bit more about him when I was talking to the sommelier on the property, Kirk Emmons, who's another story altogether. He's amazing as well. Probably has the best sommelier job in the world, I would imagine. Garrett actually, he he came to the property and he didn't actually tell anyone that he was a brewmaster or that he was brewing beer. He was working there. And then one day he kind of told someone at a celebration, and then the rumors went around, and now they built him his own brewery. And I do believe this is the only golf club resort in the world with its own brewery in the clubhouse. It's incredible.
You're going to have pictures, right?
Yes, definitely. I'm actually featuring Garrett and the sommelier, Kirk, in the next issue. I had no idea that they were on the property. I had no idea how fabulous they were, but their stories are great and they need to be told.
Kirk is in charge of the most incredible collection. And one thing I've got to tell you, Kohana Iki is a by invitation only. You can apply. What you do is you apply to become a resident at Kohana Iki. And, you know, some people are chosen to become residents. And then there are two different styles of homes you could choose from, or you can build the one that you want. You can bring your own designer in. There is Costco, you know, 7 minutes from the airport. Load up your SUV or a caravan and then drive to your home on the Big Island at Kohana Iki. And why leave? Because it feels so good. There is everything from snorkeling and stand-up body, surfing. There's a body building. There's a fabulous gym you can do. There's people who take care of all of the things that you'd want to do. They're right there for you. So it's wonderful. The kids have something. I love the kids' room. But I want to ask you, the collection of Hawaiian work, some of the woodworking, the crafts, the kayaks that we call that aren't really kayaks, the canoe, the outriggers, just the paddles on display, the woman who's been in, she's passed already, but into her 90s where she was still weaving. It was just wonderful to see their love for the heritage of the location, their love for how Kohana Iki is taking care of the aina, the Hawaii that was there in that Kohala Kailua Kona area. It's truly magnificent. But Kirk is in charge of a magnificent display of wine. Tell us about that, Diana. I know you know the story.
Well, I was really surprised. I when I met Kirk, I had no intention of talking to the sommelier at the time. And once I started chatting to him, they have an amazing wine collection, and they're all premium wines. He travels to Napa a lot and Sonoma, and he brings the owners of the wineries over there, so the members get to taste and have events with them personally. I think it's a great idea, but they also have one of the very, very rare collection of Rothschild's wines in there, which is every single bottle has its own personal artwork on it. It's absolutely beautiful. You were there. You saw it.
I know. But
I think the collection must be like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, I'm not sure, but somewhere in the ballpark of that.
Truly.
But it went, I can see why they have that, because the whole of the clubhouse is just filled with, I mean, incredible art, paintings, everything. So it's not surprising they're bringing that into the wine cellar.
Yes, and the clubhouse has a cigar room, and you'd never know anyone smoked anything in the cigar room. There is just a room for everyone, including your very own movie house. So if you choose the movie, or they'll bring the movie down, you know, download the movie that you want to see, and you've got a popcorn machine, you've got every kind of snack and goodie that you'd want to have. If you walked into any of the theaters, their snack bar is open and you just make it for yourself. It's just there. There is the bowling center, and there's a game that Diana and I discovered. I'd never played it before. It's like, I don't know. What is it called?
I can't think of the name of it either.
It's
really popular in Boston right now.
It's a long table, a very long table, and the object is to slide a piece of heavy metal, and it's got to go right into this, not go to the edge and fall over, but there are like three or four different places where that object has to then land or stop. And
okay, we can't think of the name.
Yeah, it's so silly, but it was so much fun. I could have spent days.
Yeah, you can see what the obsession's about.
Yes, it was great. It was an absolute, just the clubhouse. And then going on the golf course, was built before 08, and then everything kind of, you know, went sideways in the financial markets. So things that went on hold, but the course had been built, and for 5 years it was able to grow in, and then it opened up. And now the play is for, of course, the residents. And the golf course is just immaculate. It is spectacular. The grass feels so good. The views on the back nine are incredible. You're along the ocean. Some of the preserves there, you know, the nature preserves are amazing. Just the ponds that you find. But of course, what struck me was the comfort stations. And, you know, when you go and you find a snack shop on a golf course, you stop by and you get like a hot dog or a musubi. That's all great. You know, that's great. These comfort stations, my goodness, you walked in and there's three of them and they're all different. You walk in and there's, you know, a soft serve, and then there's drawers and drawers of every kind of ice cream cone. And there's a mixed margarita, you know, all ready to go, specially made. The mixologist has created something for the day. And boy, the mixologist, she's something else too. Then it's just incredible. And then there's the fellow making, little sandwiches for you. It's just an incredible experience. Kohana Iki was amazing. It's everything they say, and maybe a little bit more. What were you telling me about? You don't even have to have your car fixed when you go to Kohana Iki.
Yeah, I was talking to some of the members there on one of the evenings. I was doing a tasting menu from Patrick Heyman at the beach club there, and it was absolutely spectacular. But I was fortunate enough to talk to some of the members there, and they were just telling me how they really never want to leave the property because everything they need is there. And even to the point where if my car's not working, they'll take it out for me to fix it. So he's like, I don't need to leave this property. There's everything here and I love it here.
That's exactly right. That's what Kohana Iki is. So, you know, if you're inclined, I mean, it's, you know, it's Kohana Iki. So, and it's members only, and it's by invitation. So if you want, it's great. It's awesome. It's amazing. It's like nothing I've ever seen. Yes.
I'm sorry about that. And speaking of like everything there, you know, they put a lot of thought into everything to the point where I went out on a canoeing trip out on the ocean and hoped to see some dolphins. But their staff there are actually sponsored by Red Bull, and they go in all those Hawaii canoe competitions.
Oh, so not only are you able to go and canoe offshore with their expert canoers, so you're never going to get in trouble because they're in competition. This place is spectacular, guys. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But we've got Golf Kitchen, an extravaganza coming up. It's going to be in April, and it's at Punta Mita. And it's a Four Seasons St. Regis combined event at Punta Mita, where you can also buy real estate and create a home at Punta Mita. I think Diana DeLucia, the CEO of Golf Kitchen, is putting together a spectacular extravaganza. And to see all the work that you do to make this come together so that we can see in the magazine all of these luxurious events unfold, I just thank you so much.
Oh, it's been it was an awesome trip to Mexico. As you know, I went to Mexico and to cover Punta Mita in the next magazine for an event they called The Flavors of Punta Mita, and they have a few events on the property each year. But to walk away, I met with Mr. Carl Amberson there, who's in charge of all the events and many other things on the property. I told him about my project and how we wanted to have dinners, and he said, well, why don't we do a big event here? And we have the inaugural one. It's a three-day extravaganza, culinary extravaganza, and now we have our own two-day golf tournament. So my chefs are going to have a great time in April, that's for sure, as well as the guests.
So it's a golf tournament, 2 days. It's an extravaganza with the chefs coming together to show off what they can do. And I understand there's also, now that's April at Punta Mita, and this will also be featured in your Golf Kitchen Mexico. It's a special edition of the magazine, so if you subscribe, that'll come with a subscription.
Yeah, when I was over there, I had always been thinking of a special edition that's been in my head. And when I was over there, I realized how amazing some of the culinary talent is there. And I'm sure all the chefs in the U.S. Will agree. There's a lot of talent that people haven't really, you know, even touched in Mexico. And when I was there, I was really surprised how many people on one property can be so incredibly talented. And how did they gather them all together? And I was talking about the other areas in Mexico. And I thought, you know what? Let's make Golf Kitchen Mexico my first ever special edition of the magazine. So I interviewed Chef Pato, who is absolutely amazing. He's an Argentinian chef who's been all around the world. And he's an incredible snowboarder as well, extreme snowboarding. Very interesting man. He will be on the cover of that magazine. You know, I'm so excited to continue exploring the Mexican golf industry and see how many more talents we can find. And I'm sure you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I know, because you're able to really get people to talk to you. And so your interviews in the magazines and the recipes in the magazines. And I've got to say that if you miss Golf Kitchen Punta Mita, there's Golf Kitchen Glen Arbor?
We are planning a dinner at Glen Arbor in November. We haven't set the date yet. It is way out there, but I'm really excited about that one as well. I mean, that's the home of the Gary Player Invitational, and Chef Carrie Favreau is featured in the Gary Player issue, which is coming out roughly about the third week of January. It goes off to the printer mid-January, and I'm excited for that one to come out because it'll be, you know, number two on the table. And then, you know, the next three are already in the works, and next three covers after that. There's some exciting things happening that I'll be able to continue to share with you.
Subscriptions are still available, and this makes a really, really good last minute. You don't know what to get for somebody. This is the gift that keeps on giving, because their issue will come, and then in a few months, the spring issue will come, and then in a few months, the summer issue will come, and you'll have all of this giving for the person who really is into the recipes and the world behind the gates. Inside the golf kitchens. So if you just go to golfkitchen.com, get your subscription for your last minute gift, and then you'll get a receipt, and you can put that receipt in a card and put the card, and it's all taken care of. You've got the gift, and it's the 23rd, and you know it's almost time to get it all taken care of. The book is also at golfkitchen.com. It's gorgeous. She's working on the second one that will include Kohana Iki, and Hawaii will be featured. And Diana DeLucia, CEO of Golf Kitchen, author, photographer, award-winning photographer. Everyone tells me her photographs are absolutely amazing. Merry Christmas, Diana. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. And it was great catching up with you in Hawaii again, and I hope to do it again soon.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And the Golf Club is made possible by the great people at Futura Stone, Creative Plumbing, and Rainer Doors. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, your warehouse, your showroom, or a home project that just didn't quite work the way you wanted it to, that you're doing yourself. Go to Futura Stone, or it's a home project, just go to them straight away. And natural stones, they also specialize in the Brazilian quartzite flagstone, aquapave, on-site stormwater source control systems. They really wanted me to say Merry Christmas from Richard and Pat and from all the folks at Futura Stone. Of course, Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, celebrating your holidays with the security that Rainer Doors, lasting security, can provide your business, your home. It's Rainer Doors. Give them a call. And Creative Plumbing. Whether a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, a townhouse. You need it done. It's a new build. It's a renovation. It's a repair. It doesn't matter. You call Creative Plumbing, okay? They've been taking care of folks in Hawaii for over 40 years. And Merry Christmas, Mele Kalikimaka, from Todd and Carol and the entire crew. And I want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And you'll find us at 101.1. Thank you to Salem for 10 great years. Aloha. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2018.